congratulate all of you for the excellent work that you've done, and I'm happy to be, even though I'm a judge and you're the attorneys, but I do consider you colleagues in the study of water law in Mexico, which is fascinating. So, all right. When I ask a question, I'll direct it to a particular attorney, and then the other movements can chip in with their thoughts after I've done it. I'd like you to just stay seated. If you just move your microphone to the person who's going to speak. We're going to start, since I'm just going to go in order with the question that I had. I'm going to start with Mr. Wexler. You said that there were now two uses that Gustin Plains is seeking for their application. One is municipal sale, municipal use, and the second is commercial sales. And then I heard from the state engineer that the two uses were municipal uses and commercial uses. In your application, and I've read it many times, but just for a repeat, do you say commercial sales or do you say commercial uses?
Commercial sales, Your Honor.
Okay. So, with commercial sales, that's you're planning to sell to somebody who has a business, or is it for commercial entities, or is it that you're going to make money from selling water to whomever?
Your Honor, I think it's specified in the application the types of users who will be putting water beneficial use for commercial sales. My recollection, without having it in front of me, is industrial and commercial water users. And then I think if you look at paragraph 28, it specifies that somewhere around the order of 10,000 acre feet is anticipated to be used for those purposes.
Okay.
Again, as Mr. Jasielinski testifies, he has had discussions with those precise entities, and there's every anticipation that that water would be put to use for those purposes.
So do you have any New Mexico cases? I know you have a reference to it. Mr. Graper and I had an exchange about the Montana. Because they have it in their constitution that commercial sales are beneficial use. We don't have that provision of commercial sales. So end use being beneficial use is commercial sale. What cases?
Yeah, so let me start with saying that this was the exact direction of the state engineer. Again, if you look at the letter from Mr. Peterson attached to Mr. Jasielinski's second affidavit, this is exactly the direction that the state engineer provided to us. It was not initially included as a purpose of use. You then see the Gel Basin application, which is really only illustrative.
I'm looking more for precedent.
Yeah, I'm getting there. The Albuquerque Land and Irrigation Company case, the CS Cattle case, the Mathers case.
Just a sec.
You bet.
Okay. All right. Let's start with the Albuquerque irrigation case. Where does that one talk about the commercial sale is?
Well, there what you see is it's an entity who is obtaining a water right to be delivered to other entities. In that case, it happened to be the other irrigation users on that ditch, and that was done for a particular fee. If you want other examples of the types of things that are commercial sales, you can see it's often...
But on that one, it was the end use was the actual irrigators.
We don't know that. It's not actually specified.
Okay, so it doesn't specifically say sales versus that. So it doesn't specifically say sales, it doesn't specifically say the irrigation.
The purpose uses. Of use is.
Okay, so sales. that one, yeah, I know that case. So that one is a bit ambiguous, so I can't rely either way on that one. So what's the other one?
Well, there's the CS Cattle case, which is a similar holding. There's the Mathers case, which
calls out. Okay, just a second. On the CS Cattle case, what's the holding on that one?
My recollection is that generally the holding is it's not necessary to specify the end users, but I don't recall the details of
right.
The case.
And that was another question I was going to have, and people are going to be able to answer both of these issues. A difference that I'm seeing is particularly in the Mathers case, is the difference between identifying the end user and identifying the end use, that is the beneficial use, the application of water to something as something very physical that's going to be used for someone's benefit, okay? So the end use was shown in matters, right, of the
there's a discussion about how that water will be used. I would say there's nothing binding in the permit that requires it to be used for that purpose, no.
Okay, but that wasn't the holding. The holding was about that you didn't have, Mathers didn't have to, Texaco didn't have to mention who the end user was going to be. They didn't have to be named in it, the end user, right?
That's part of the holding. The other whole part of the holding on that particular issue, because of course there's the entire discussion on the care distance that important in that case.
But yeah, no, that was a big part of,
yeah,
of
but
the case.
The remainder of that, the holding that related to that, is the discussion that the court engages in. Look, this application was provided on the forms, the state engineer forms. It contains all of the information of the statute, and right. We, the court, are not going to look behind that. We're going to accept that as complete.
But it wasn't about commercial sales.
There is a discussion, and again, I'm not recalling the exact nature of that, but certainly there is a discussion of sales that matters around it, yes.
Okay. Then what's the next one?
The next one is the Hickory Apache case, and I think if you hang on a second, I'll actually get to the quotation.
Is that a New Mexico case?
It's a Tenth Circuit case interpreting New Mexico law, yes.
It's not binding. If they're just interpreting New Mexico law, go to the New Mexico Supreme Court, right?
While I would say it's not binding, what you're talking about is you're going through a litany of cases that are all either directly saying that sales is a beneficial purpose of use.
That's interesting. When did that come down?
Okay. Let me give you the exact quote.
Please.
Here, it came out in 1981. Here's the quote. The city contends further that it will be using the water beneficially through sales to other water users. Such a plan is certainly recognized as appropriate.
Oh, well, that's a public entity, right?
There's nothing in the statutes, Your Honor, or in the case law which suggests that a different set of rules applies in this context, the purpose of use, for a public entity as opposed to a private entity.
And what did the Court of Appeals say on that? That's what the city wanted to do, so what did they decide?
Well, ultimately, it had to do with the specific nature of that particular project. But again,
did they make a decision on commercial sales as a beneficial use?
I read the language that has to do with the commercial sales.
You're just saying that's what the city wanted to do.
Well, I think it says such a plan is certainly appropriate.
Such a plan of commercial sales?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And then you can also see, in addition to the case law, all supportive of the notion that commercial sales is a beneficial use, right, in addition to the practice of the state engineer, the numerous applications that are filed.
Yeah,
you also have
I'm
a
stick with precedent.
There's no contrary precedent.
I know no contrary precedent, so this is an issue of first impression, right?
I disagree with that. No, I think that those cases that I cited provide clear guidance to this court, which are
all right. Well, that's clear as mud for me, but I'm not gonna say that you're wrong. I'm just saying that I've read these cases, except for the Hickory Apache. I haven't read that one yet, and I will.
Please.
And look at that. But what you're making the argument for is that commercial sales, a middleman, which is essentially what it would be, a middleman can say to the state engineer, this is my beneficial use, I want to sell it to somebody. Right? And I'll sell it to somebody who's industrial or commercial or something, and then therefore, and they'll use it, and you don't even have to look at the final use there.
So if I may, Your Honor, that's precisely what utilities do when
No. I follow you. You mentioned utilities, but you specifically don't want to follow the utilities law, right?
If we are to be providing water directly to the entities the way a utility does, that's certainly under contemplation. The first step is to get the application.
I read your motion things more than once, and I thought in your application, in your position, that you specifically rejected the idea of being treated like a public utility, which would be sales of water. And you don't want to do that, right? Be treated as a public utility.
For purposes right now, we're not intended to be a utility. That's certainly under contemplation. Let me just mention, however, that There is a number of other types of commercial sales that occur regularly. For example, water tanks are consistently filled. Those permits have application, or permits rather, that allow for commercial sales. Another example you can see in the statutes.
Sorry, are those water tanks owned by private individuals?
Yes.
And they're not regulated?
No.
Okay.
They're providing bulk water to people who are taking them, then using it for. And I will also point out, I mean, you can also appropriate water for commercial water sales. That might be such a thing as like creating bottled drinking water. There also is in the statute, there's the statute 7261, and it's the other statutes there, which is the water leasing statute, which clearly contemplates a use.
That's a secondary use. Person's already received the permit or the license for.
It is a secondary use. Again, yeah, we're talking about.
You're seeking a new use, though.
Correct. We are seeking a new use. And what we're looking for here is, what's the authority out there that talks about commercial use? And my point to you is, all of these, I would include the sort of the secondary sources like Wheel We Cite. All of those are indicating that commercial use is a.
No, I'm not arguing about commercial
use. Commercial sales is a
valid
purpose.
Talking about commercial sales, and I haven't counted it myself, but maybe Hickory Apache has the. I don't know.
Well, and we cite the Montana case. I think we can cite a case from California.
Yeah, I'm not going to follow Montana. Because it's in their constitution. I'm not going to follow it because every state has its own particular history and development of their own law. And how can I follow Montana commercial sale? Because then I'm just saying that the authority, the original authority for that, is Montana's constitution.
Because I think the Montana's constitution, like New Mexico's constitution, codifies the doctrine of appropriation. And I would say, unless there is something to point to that that says that the long-standing practice of the state engineer, or the all of the precedent that I've talked to, talked about, or the secondary sources, unless there is something that says commercial sale is not a valid purpose of use, then certainly that is something that this court should be finding is appropriate.
Okay. All right. Good answers. So. Responses to that, if anybody wants to make a response, that's fine.
Yes, Jamie Park for New Mexico Environmental Law Community Court Justice. So first let me address the Hickory Apache case.
Okay.
That case was not dealing with commercial sales of water by the city of Albuquerque. It was actually, the issue was whether they could store water for future municipal use. So that's what the court was dealing with, municipal use, not commercial sales. And I would direct the court to the Office of the State Engineer's recent water use report, in which they identify 9 categories of water use. And it's under the municipal, or what they call public water suppliers category use.
I think I read that in one of your attachments on a reply.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor. And so that provides definitions for municipal use, and municipal use encompasses commercial, industrial, domestic. So there is no commercial sales category or use of water in New Mexico. Also in this recent report, if you look at the definition the state engineer provides for commercial use, it does not include commercial sales of water. So that's the Hickory Apache case. But I would actually argue that there is contrary precedent, that we do have New Mexico case law holding that commercial sales of unappropriated water, whether that be surface or groundwater, by private entities, is not a recognized beneficial use. And that's Millhiser v. Long. Now, all the parties keep talking about this case in the context of a diversion of water, you know, and being speculative and hoarding water. But the Millhiser court also got into the very issue of, can a private party engage in commercial sales of water that hasn't already been put to beneficial use? And the court found that Long and Truxton had a right to sell water that they had validly appropriated for 200 acres. So they had validly appropriated water to irrigate 200 acres. And the court found, okay, when it comes to the water used for irrigating those 200 acres, Long and Truxton, they can engage in sales because that's already a vested water right. But the court proceeded to find that when it came to all the other water Long and Truxton were claiming that had not been put to beneficial use to about 1,700 acres, that Long and Truxton could not engage in sales of that water. It had not been vested, it had not been put to beneficial use. That was speculation, illegal, and it's not a beneficial use. So we do have New Mexico precedent telling us.
Is that the only case, Millhiser?
Yes, and I would say this court did caution the parties that surface water cases and the surface water code don't have any bearing. However,
they No, I didn't say that. I said it procedurally. Substantively,
okay.
They do.
Okay, and at least, Your Honor, they help provide us with some guidance. But I would also direct the court to two state statutes that are very clear on how private waters can engage in commercial sales of water.
Right.
And that's the Water Use Lease Act. And then there's another provision that talks about change of place of use, change of use. And both of those statutory mechanisms require that the right be vested already.
All right, thank you.
I'm gonna let you
respond.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Chris Lindeen on behalf of the state engineer. I think what we're getting into is a bit of a semantical game as to identifying your purpose of use and what is the beneficial use. It's quite common and quite necessary for the state engineer to accept applications for commercial sales.
Okay.
Water haulers on the Navajo Reservation, fracking in the oil.
Let's go back with the water haulers. How do they get their permit?
There's an application filed, and typically the purpose of use that's listed is going to be for commercial sales, and then I will say delivery to domestic homes.
Okay, so domestic home use.
Domestic home use is the beneficial use.
Domestic home use is the beneficial use.
You actually have to use the water to get a water right and have beneficial use.
So the sale of the water in your application, that's not the final. They have to actually say what it's going to be used for, right?
Typically, what we do is, in the oil patch, for example, they say commercial sales to the oil and gas industry. Some people make applications that are broader. You know, can we spray down the roads and keep dust control down and things? Or is that within the oil and gas industry? What if we, you know, put water in some of the outhouses and things like that? Is that related to oil and gas? So it's pretty broad, but really, I mean, the distinction I wanted to make here is, yes, in our applications, we identify commercial sales, because we want to know what you're doing. Are you going to sell it?
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to make sure is that you eventually place it to beneficial use, right? You don't use it for some sort of waste, things like that. I mean, there's arguments as to what is waste and, you know, is fracking waste and all that kind of stuff. But the important part here is it does need to eventually be placed to beneficial use.
And do you need to know that before you approve the application?
Not always, Your Honor. No, it depends on where you are and what you're proposing to do. It's unusual to receive an application that just says commercial sales. Typically,
but not it's not impossible. It's happened before.
That's right. Yes, it has. And there is a water supply entity up north of Albuquerque. It's a private company, and they have a water right to sell commercial water, or do commercial sales to residences.
So, what's the state engineer's problem with the commercial sales for commercial and industrial use? Why do you not? Why don't you just let that go forward? They're going to use it eventually. Mr. Webster's client is saying we're going to do that.
Your Honor, the state engineer didn't have such a problem with identifying commercial sales as a beneficial use, or as a purpose of use. Excuse me.
Okay, I'm talking about beneficial use.
Yes.
So what's then still splitting hairs? Because that's what you have to do in the law. Purpose of use, all right, commercial sales for a beneficial use. So they said the beneficial use would be for industrial and commercial uses in the port or Rio Grande. What's the problem with that on the purpose of use? The beneficial use issue. State engineer, have any problem with it?
The selling of the water, being the middleman, as you said, mm-hmm. is not the beneficial use. The beneficial use is how it gets placed in beneficial use eventually.
All right.
You're correct. Really, the commercial sales is identifying yourself as, I will be a middleman to get this out into the oil and gas field. I will be the middleman to get this to people's residences.
And then do you look at the final use, let's call it that. Final use is the beneficial use where water actually pours out for something.
Yes, Your Honor, especially if we're going to do a license on that permit.
Okay.
Except PBU, we'd like to see where it's being placed, how much, where.
Well, we're just at the permit stage. I don't think they're seeking a license at this point, so just a permit.
State engineer doesn't have a problem with the fact that commercial sales is identified as a purpose of use.
Okay. All right. Anybody? Oh, Mr. Webb, go ahead.
Well, I did want to clarify that the way that Millheiser worked. It is true, the applicant there, or the permittee in Millheiser, had obtained a water right, had put the beneficial the water to beneficial use on approximately 200 acres. And there was undisputed in that case that that was the maximum amount of water that was intended to be used for that particular entity. And in fact, the court recognizes that the subsequent appropriator actually had a talk with, I believe it was, the permittee, I'll call them. And said, yes, I'm not using the remainder of that water, which then that permittee used the remainder. And it's only after all of that happened that then the original permittee came back and said, oh, you know what, I also want to use this water for commercial sales. I've developed these additional contracts. And at that point, the court said, no. Priority of use belongs to that second user because you had already used it for what it was intended for the original beneficial use. And in fact, just diverting the water, that's not beneficial use. We agree with all of that. The difference here is Augustine is fully intending to put all of that water to beneficial use, as Mr. Jishlinski has carefully testified to. I think, as I've specified, this really isn't different than the applications Mr. Lindeen is talking about, which say commercial sales for this, that, and the other thing, because we're specifying commercial sales for industrial commercial. It's not, as Your Honors indicates, the license stage or the proof of beneficial use stage. That comes later. And at this point, if additional information is necessary, we can certainly provide that in the permit, where there'll be a hearing, rather, where there'll be evidence. Or if necessary, again, that's something that can be corrected if it's sent back to the state engineer. You want us to specify more information, we can do that.
All right. So then, essentially, your two uses that you have in the 2014 application are the same as the 2007 application, minus the nine others or so, right? You got it down to, you didn't come up with a new idea for a purpose of use, right?
I think the intent in 2007 and 2014 has always been the same. And that's, you know, it's simply a way of how do we get right what it is exactly we're saying. So if you're asking me, in the original application, there were 10 potential purposes of use, and now there's only two, or if you want to say three.
Commercial and industrial.
Simple math, yeah, I mean, whatever that is. It's
okay,
seven less.
So that part, because I was wondering if this was a new idea of commercial sales versus commercial and industrial uses.
I think that the original intention in 2007 was also to be using the water for commercial and industrial purposes. As Mr. Jishlinski testifies to, he's had numerous conversations with those end users, and there's the full expectation that that water will be put to beneficial use in those ways.
Your Honor, may I just make another response? So another issue that the Hickory Court was also dealing with was, even though, again, they weren't dealing with commercial sales and beneficial use, they're looking at municipal. And, you know, municipal use encompasses sales.
Oh, I know the Hickory of that.
Okay.
You know something?
Well,
no, my hearing was Hickory. I was thinking, well, that's a different tribe, but it is a federal case, so I don't want to argue with them. Hickory of that. Gotcha.
So they're looking at municipal use, which again encompasses sales within their service area to use that domestic users, commercial, industrial. And so the court went on to hold that the city cannot divert water which looks to future negotiations for various beneficial uses. And the court also held that a city cannot take water now with a mere hope of possible sales in the future. And I think the court's line of questioning here was not just getting at commercial sales fails to identify what the actual end use is going to be, but commercial sales also fails to identify who the actual end users are to be. And when it comes to other categories of use of water, such as municipal, we have court precedent that requires the applicant to identify who those end users are. And I would also go further to say that Mathers v. Texaco is not about identification of end users. What the issue was before the court in that matter was, in whose name the application needs to be made. And so, even though Section 7212.3 doesn't expressly state that an application has to identify the specific end user, the constitutional mandate of beneficial use does. This court did hold in 2012 that it's the constitutional mandate of beneficial use that requires the applicant to provide information for every aspect of a water right. And no. The Hickory Apache case supports that in saying that even
I don't think I said that you have to identify an end user. And
not
I know we're splitting hairs on this, but that's what we do.
But not is expressly, the, Your Honor. But
is there a difference between an end use and an end user? And I haven't seen any New Mexico case that requires the identification in an application for a permit that says the end user has to be named. No state engineer forms require that. The state statute doesn't require that of an end user.
I would argue that Hickory Apache, it's 10th Circuit, so the court may not find that it's binding. But
well, no. It's okay.
Does require identification of
end. They are identifying. I'm required to follow holdings of the Court of Appeals of New Mexico, the Supreme Court of New Mexico, the federal courts, as august as they are still interpreting New Mexico law, and I don't think, tell me if I'm wrong, that I'm required to follow a federal court opinion saying what New Mexico law is. It's instructive, but until the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court tell me something, then I don't think that I'm required to follow it as a binding precedent. I don't know. That's how I've always understood it.
Understood, Your Honor. And I think this, perhaps the question could also be directed to counsel for the Hand Trust. Counsel Davidson did touch on how how commercial sales is inherently speculative is because it fails to require the applicant to identify the demand. And under Kaiser, what an element of beneficial use and an element of a water right is imperative necessity. And you demonstrate that with a contract. You demonstrate that with identification of an end user.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to let people get tired of talking. So, for the state engineer's position, you stated, and I think that I got it right. You said it's inevitable that more applications will follow on this case. So you have promised us more groundhog moments. Regardless of what happens, you're saying that we're just going to keep going and going on this. Is that your position? And there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
With respect to this application, Your Honor, I just mean that whether it's Augustine Plains or another applicant, you're always going to end up with a question whether it's a similar application, whether it's the same application. I think it's inevitable. What I meant was that it's inevitable that we're going to get cases where we have to grapple with what speculation might means,
okay.
And that these large applications like this are going to be, we're likely to see them again.
All right, I misunderstood.
I was probably unclear.
No, that's fine.
May I respond?
I'm going to let you respond to Mr. Wexler because I'm out of questions.
Okay. But my only response is the question that you're asking harkens back to what the Environmental Law Center is suggesting, and that is this should be granted without prejudice. But of course, we know that the Constitution indicates that water is a public resource, and Augustine has a constitutional right to be applying for water, to put that water to beneficial use, which all of the facts show that we intend to be doing. The idea that somehow there shouldn't be a whittling and a approving of the application process simply is inconsistent with all of the regulations and the statutes. I do want to say before the issue sort of goes away, this idea of demand, because it wasn't raised in the brief, but from that perspective, we're very comfortable with the issue of demand. It was suggested in the argument that somehow there wasn't any evidence of the demand for the water. And I would point the court to the Jashwinski first and primarily the second affidavit where he's going through at length the need and demand for that water. I think there's a paragraph there where he says explicitly there's a large demand and points out the fact that there's a deficit of over 200,000 acre feet in the land. So at very best, what that does is create a factual issue which requires an evidentiary hearing.
All right. I'm going to let you have the last word. And so, I will render my decision by the end of July, okay? And if for some reason it doesn't work out, then my assistant will notify you. But I've been working on this since the time of the appeal, and I've read everything, and I've researched everything except I know I've read the Hickory Apache case once, but I need to read it again. And so I'll look. I know Mathers very well, and the Kaiser case and all those others. But thank you for this, and I thank the folks in the audience who are very patient, and you were very polite. I congratulate you for that. So we'll be off record.
All right.